Welcome to the tax update for January 2015, and in this edition we've got five items, the first of which is an observation that the consultation announced by HMRC on 16th December will inevitably be followed by a clampdown on travel expenses for agency workers and contractors, because the evidence over the last year has been the HMRC are tightening up in this. I remember in January 2014, I mentioned the unsuccessful claim to deduct the expense of a doctor, Dr. Samidian, in travelling to and from various hospitals. And this publication of a consultation which closes on the 10th of February merely confirms that HMRC believe that there are too many contractors and agency workers and people who use personal service companies or umbrella companies obtaining an advantage in relation to their travel expenses. Just an interesting observation, many European countries allow a limited deduction for the expense that a worker incurs in getting to and from their work. And in fact, in the UK, if you think about it, it's a stealth tax, because it ends up that workers are being taxed on the fruit of their labour, but they don't actually get to keep the expenses that they have to incur in getting to their place of work. HMRC believe that people are incorrectly claiming certain locations to be their base of business, and therefore any expense of travelling from that base of business to a worksite can be deducted for tax purposes. As I say, you've got until 10th February to send any views in on this. HMRC are trying to improve access for small business to R&D tax credits, and they're doing so by trying to raise awareness, design and general understanding of the potential claimants, and also to ease the administrative process. Again, this consultation closes on 27th February, if you're interested. It's just a 3-page document, and certainly there would be many businesses would benefit from being able to claim R&D tax credits. The Supreme Court has refused permission to hear an appeal by Interfish, and this concerned Plymouth Albion, one of the largest rugby clubs in the southwest of England, which as a club had been in severe financial difficulties and therefore benefited from sponsorship from Interfish, which is a fishing industry company. Now, Interfish claimed that it was doing so to generate goodwill amongst the local population, but it was a finding of fact at the first tier tribunal that there was a dual purpose in the sponsorship payments, and in part there was a purpose in trying to keep the rugby club afloat and improve its squad of players, and that duality of purpose was fatal to the claim. But now that it's been refused to go to the Supreme Court, we've got to accept that the Court of Appeal decision is final, and we can expect HMRC to be seeking to deny sponsorship in a lot more cases. An interesting case is that of Mark Allen, and he was a director of a company which transferred into a non-approved pension scheme treasury stock to the value of £349,317, of which Mr. Allen was entitled to 55.44%, or around £193,661. Now, at that point, HMRC was having a dispute with the Irving case, which was eventually resolved in 2008 by the Court of Appeal, ruling that a transfer of assets as distinct from cash was assessable in what is now Section 386, and it's assessable on the employee who potentially benefits. The argument in Mark Allen's case was that he was being taxed on something that he didn't actually receive, and therefore this was a violation of his human rights. But when this went to appeal, the first tier tribunal threw it out under Rule 8, subsection 3C, on the basis that his appeal was hopeless and doomed to failure, given the decision in the Court of Appeal. Michael Sherry had an interesting argument that there was a potential chance of success if this case went all the way through to the Supreme Court, and that therefore denying the right of appeal by striking it out at the first-tier tribunal was a breach of Article 3 of the Human Rights Act and the First Protocol, Article 1. But at the upper tribunal, they ruled that this had no real prospects of success. Given that the right of appeal is an important safeguard available to taxpayers who wish to challenge HMRC's decision, this is actually quite an interesting and significant case. But finally, HMRC are trying to help agents, and I've given not only notes to accompany this podcast, but also some links to look at some of the webinars and e-learning that HMRC are now providing for agents to assist them in dealing with the self-assessment regime. There's an interesting joint learning course on resolving disputes with HMRC, and given that HMRC win 83% of cases at tribunal, I think that this might be an interesting professional development exercise for many people. It's often very difficult to find the time or indeed the discipline to study and learn, but maybe this is worth a look. Thanks very much for listening.